See right after the international news.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is Prince Nesta from Nairobi, Kenya, sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the September 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with football and Liverpool forward. The Senegal-born Sadio Mane scored his 100th English Premier League goal in a match against Crystal Palace. Mane has equaled the number of goals scored by his Egyptian teammate Mo Salah. Former Ivory Coast captain and Chelsea forward Didier Drogba remains the highest African goal scorer in the English Premier League with 104 goals. Emmanuel Okara is an African football analyst and a former editor of the news agency of Nigeria Sports Desk, and he spoke to reporter Mike Mbonye about the Senegalese speedster's accomplishment.
Let me start by congratulating Sadio Mane for scoring his 100 English Premier League goals, which was not too surprising to me because Sadio Mane has always been a prolific goal scorer. Once again, I congratulate the Senegalese ace. Right from day one when he joined Liverpool, he scored in his debut match against Arsenal Football Club. That was in 2016. And since then, he has not looked back. And also by scoring his 100th goal this last weekend against Crystal Palace Football Club, Sadio Mane made history by being the first player to score 9 consecutive times against a club side over the period he has spent with Liverpool Football Club. That's Crystal Palace, unfortunately. And also, by scoring his 100th goal, he became the 18th Liverpool Football Club player to have hit that landmark. And this is just match day 5, mind you. I believe he will score more goals, possibly get up to 120 goals. And I doff my hat to the Senegalese ace. And the way it is, he's definitely in contention for the Golden Boot, the way he won it alongside Mohamed Salah and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, incidentally, all African players.
It's like the English Premier League will witness a rat race for the Golden Boot this season, with Salah, Mane and Lukaku in the lead. What's your take?
Without any iota of a doubt, the contest for the 2021-2022 EPL Golden Boot will be a straight fight between Romelu Lukaku, Cristiano Ronaldo, Mohamed Salah, Sadio Mane, Harry Kane, and others who might also drop their gauntlet in the ring. And the English Football Premier League fans also are guaranteed non-stop action all through the season, because these players would, one way or the other, strive to come out tops. I remember about a season or two ago, 3 African players, Mohamed Salah, Sadio Mane, and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, all emerged as a joint Golden Boot winners. This time around, it might just be a straight fight. Either Romelu Lukaku or Cristiano Ronaldo, any of them might, gone for it. And I wish them all the best in their all-out fight for the Golden Boot.
Do you think the feat achieved by Mohamed Salah and Sadio Mane will influence other African players in Europe?
My advice to up-and-coming African players in the English Premier League is for them to be disciplined and stay focused on their game. By so doing, their coaches will pick them regularly to feature in every of the matches they have to prosecute this season. And for them to attain that height of scoring 100 or 200 goals, so to speak, they have to do it through dint of hard work and not by wishful thinking. I wish them good luck if they want to attain the height Didier Drogba, Mohamed Salah and Sadio Mane has attained. My advice goes to Kelechi Iheanacho especially and Emmanuel Dennis, who are players of the Super Eagles, for them to also raise the level of their game. For long now, we've not had any Nigerian player picked as an African Footballer of the Year. The onus is on them to attain that height. Once again, I wish them all good luck.
That was African football analyst Emmanuel Okara. And he spoke with reporter Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria. This is Prince Nesta in Nairobi, Kenya, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Nigerian women's basketball team cruised into the quarterfinals of the AfroBasket Championships after beating Angola 85-65, and next will play the winner of Wednesday's contest between Ivory Coast and Guinea. Ezin Kalu scored 12 points, while Efi Ibekwe registered 8 rebounds for the Tigress. Angola's Italy Lucas had 19 points, with Nadir Manuel grabbing 10 rebounds for the Angolan team, scheduled to battle it out in the pre-quarterfinal stage against Cape Verde. Earlier, the Kenyan national women's basketball team staged a remarkable comeback to defeat Cape Verde 61-58 in the FIBA AfroBasket tournament in Yaounde, Cameroon. I spoke to the Kenya national men's basketball team point guard Victor Bosire regarding the win and what it would take for the Kenyan Lionesses to win the whole tournament, among other issues.
I am the current point guard for the Morans team. The Morans is the Kenyan men basketball team. I've been around, I've played for the team for nearly over 10 years now. So I can say I'm one of the veterans currently in the league for the men's basketball. And also apart from playing, we're just trying to nurture and improve other players, because sooner or later we'll also be exiting or transiting into other roles like coaching. And those are the roles.
You are a total inspiration. You recently came back from the AfroBasket Men's Championship. How was it?
I think this is one of the tournaments we went in prepared really well. Really well for the tournament. But you see, again, in sports, the problem is every time you have a group of players who are playing a tournament for the first time, you don't know what to expect. Like right now, if you go back to the AfroBasket, we will have at least players who have played it before who can guide the other players, who will tell the other players what to expect. It's sports Nesta is like a road. The way when you drive in a road that you've driven before, the confidence that you have, even know where portals are, or you even know where everything else is. But imagine you driving on a stranger, a road that you've never driven before. The level of confidence that you have driving through that road. That is exactly how sports is. So this tournament is like us driving in a road that we've never driven before. So you can imagine how players are not, the willingness of players expressing themselves, the willingness of us being outgoing in terms of our way of play, the way it's hard. But right now, it's a road we've driven before. So it's a road where if you go back, we'll have a lot, I wouldn't say stage fright, but if you watch those games really well, like even against Ivory Coast, the finalists, we took them all the way to the wire, but just couldn't close out that game. But closing out the game now, it's a matter of how confident are you and how well do you know such tournaments? Because I'm sure if it was a friendly game or any other avenue, we'll have beaten them. But it's a learning process, and we went there and learned, and also showed other players and the country that the level between us and the cream de la cream in this African basketball is not far. We just need to adjust a few things and we'll be there. We actually among the best. Long gone are the days where we used to be beaten centuries by these big teams. The last time Kenya was in AfroBasket is 1993. Most of those players, some are coaches and some are not even in the basketball, like in the basketball fraternity. So our immediate goal is to make sure these tournaments, we are very consistent until us guys transit out. Because again, most of the players in this time are veteran players.
Incredible stuff. Indeed, experience is the best teacher. And once we fly shy, we're just hoping that next time the Kenyan men's basketball team gets back to the AfroBasket Championship, they might be able to pull out a win and, you know, walk out with the tournament itself altogether. Having come close by losing against Ivory Coast in a closely tied match in the semifinals. I'm looking at the women's basketball team, the Lionesses, Kenyan Lionesses, they're really doing great. And they actually lost a game against Cameroon in the recent AfroBasket Women's Tournament. That was their first game. And the second game yesterday, they actually managed to defeat the really fantastic Cape Verde team, were beaten by the Kenyan Lionesses 61-58, which is a bit close. But kudos to, you know, the Kenyan Lionesses basketball team. Were you surprised by these results?
No, not at all. One is because of how the team played during the Zone 5 championships in Rwanda. We actually managed to beat Egypt. I don't remember in recent times the last time we even beat Egypt. And it was actually a very comfortable win because we lost against them in the group stages, but came back and won against them during the tournament, in the final. So I wasn't surprised because I think that the team was quite prepared and ready for that championship. Although we are missing one of our key players and one of the best. She plays for Troy University in the US. She's called Felmas Koranga. But that all done, we apart from her, we managed to maintain the same winning team that was here in Zone 5, carried it forward to the AfroBasket. The first game was very tough against Cameroon, being the fact that Cameroon is one of the favorites, and also Cameroon is actually the host for this tournament. And you see a lot of excitement that comes with the host, because in the previous like two or three championships, they managed to finish in the top four. So this is a team, this is one of the favorites to win this tournament. And actually the way the ladies played until the third quarter, because the game went away in the third quarter. And this is where now we come back to our notion of the foreign road, the road that you've never not driven before. Because a lot of these players are actually playing the Afro Basket for the first time. But most of the veteran players who were always consistent, the likes of Akina Hilda, the likes of Akina Samba, the likes of Akina Betty, who have been in this tournament before, are not part of this team. So I think in some way you will say experience played a part kidogo. Yeah. But in basketball, we don't judge the overall performance by just the scores, because the scores say that we lost by 20 points. But if you see how those ladies played for three quarters, they actually had it. And even their system of play was actually better than Cameroon. The Cape Verde game, personally, I was very confident that we'll win that game. We started the game badly. The first two quarters were not really good for us. We found ourselves chasing most of the game. That now brought out the character in the ladies. You saw how we managed to come back in that game and win by 3 points. And you see, in those tournaments, it's very, even for the men, it's always very hard for you to come back. That final composure is always very hard, especially having used all the energy that you have, having used it to come back to the game. So it's really a game that showed the resilience in the ladies, and it's a game that showed that the ladies are not there to play. And it's actually, they're shouting to the big teams.
Absolutely. And I like what you've talked about, resilience, because they might need it just to win the whole tournament altogether. What does the Kenyan Lionesses team need for them to walk away with the tournament, considering the fact that there are teams such as Senegal, which are some of the most decorated teams in this tournament?
For the team and the coach, Coach Mayanga, who was our coach in USA, one of a very good friend of mine. Yes. You know, in every tournament, you set realistic goals. I'm sure their realistic goal right now is not... I'll give a very good example of for the soccer fans, the English Premier League, which is one of the best in the world. When the league starts, as much as every team wants to win the league, the likes of Manchester, all the way, Man City, all the way down to the last team, they always have an ambition to win the league. But you're told... The first goal is for you to get to the 40-point mark. Because when you get to the 40-point mark, you are guaranteed 85% chance of being safe, of not being relegated. So that is even for the big teams, like that is the first hurdle for anyone to climb before thinking of winning the league. It's like the first goal you need to achieve before you think of winning the English Premier League. First of all, get safe. Be safe that you're not being relegated. Now start eyeing top eight, finish top four, finish. You get so it's always in sports. It's always a process for the ladies. And based on the fact that this is the first time, the first goal you've achieved. The first goal was not to finish last in the group, because finishing last in the group gives you a tough opponent in the pre-qualifying round, because you get the number one seed in the other pool. And remember, in the other pool, we are talking about Pool B. which has three of the best teams in this tournament. They have Nigeria, they have Angola, and they have Mozambique. I don't see any other team more decorated than these three teams here in Africa, both in club championship and at the national team level. So for us, for better chances of advancing into the next round, we need either to be number one or number two. So that, but remember, if we had beaten Cameroon, number one advances straight to the quarterfinals. So get number one the first after losing the first game, but getting number two now means that we play Mozambique, which is an easier opponent if you watch those games than Nigeria and Angola, who are playing today for the top of the group in that pool. But I see Mozambique beatable. I don't remember her name, but there's this one star player of theirs who was not there against Angola, but she played against Nigeria and they only lost by 3 points. And Nigeria actually was the most favorite team to win this tournament. If she will not be available against us, I see it as a very beatable team. The immediate goal for this team, first of all, must be to make it to the quarterfinals. So from there, once you get to the knockouts, anything is possible. Eh? And the way this team has shown us some resilience, you never know what will happen. But my immediate, personally, and I know even for them, the immediate goal will be to make it to the quarterfinals. Even coming to this tournament, the immediate goal was, let us make it to the quarterfinals. After that, let us see what happens. And you're meeting Mozambique. Mozambique is a very beatable team for us. But at the same time, very experienced, very good coach team, a very good all-round team, and a team that has dominated, especially in club championship here in Africa. So they are a team that are used to playing at this stage. So it will be an uphill task for the team. But basing on the results against Cape Verde and the way we played that game against Cape Verde, I see an upset there against Mozambique.
Incredible stuff. I like your analysis. And, you know, you've mentioned teams such as Nigeria, which you think might walk away with this tournament altogether. How about the rest? Which are some of the favorite teams that you think might win this tournament?
Based on the team composition, and by analysis, based on how the teams are composed and the experience the teams at this level, and the recent performances, both at the club championships and at the national team. My favorite will be Nigeria to repeat and win it all. But we also have the likes of, so I'll pick Nigeria, I'll pick Senegal, and I'll pick Cameroon, the hosts. I'll also pick Mali and Angola. Yes, those five, I'll be surprised if top four don't come from those five teams. I know there are good teams like Egypt and the rest, but I will pick those five teams, the top four coming from those five teams. The basic reason is because if you look at Nigeria, Senegal, and Cameroon, most of their players are foreign-based players. So it means that they're players who have played at this level for quite a while, and they're used to this level. So I will pick them as the favorites to actually make it, the first teams to make it to the second round. And even Mali, they have very good foreign-based players. And also, if you look at their recent performances in this team, those teams have always finished in the top four. And the reason I'm saying these teams is because of their recent performances and their foreign-based players. You can't buy experience at sometimes. And I think that is one of the biggest things most of the teams are lacking in this tournament. So you have very good teams like Egypt and the rest, but you have most of their players playing local, which is a good thing. And based on the fact that their leagues are very, very strong and very good supported. But I will, you know, you can only take a few teams as your favorite. So having that limited list, those are the teams I can take.
Absolutely. And I like what you're saying, but Mali, actually, which was the third place team in the 2019 edition of the tournament, actually handed Tunisia a 101-39 defeat, which was quite surprising to me, considering the fact that North and African teams are always feared. You know, they're teams that have been there before, quite experienced, and they're renowned to, you know, have great basketball federations, and they really support their, you know, local players and stuff. And so that was a big surprise to me. But there's going to be a blockbuster match, a Nigeria versus Angola today. Your predictions?
That is a close one to call. But I'll pick Nigeria to win that game and have an automatic qualification to the quarterfinals. Whoever wins that game, it puts the other teams in trouble. Imagine you having to face either Nigeria or Angola for a chance to play in the quarterfinal. Mm-hmm. For the other teams, it's really, really tough. But I'll pick Nigeria, but that will be a game to watch. And it's actually a game that will dictate how the tournament will go.
That was the Kenyan national men's basketball team point guard Victor Bosire. And he spoke with me here in Nairobi about the Kenyan Lionesses' win against Cape Verde in the AfroBasket Championships. This is Prince Nesta in Nairobi, Kenya, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
This is Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Still on the African beat, the African rugby qualifiers for the 2023 World Showpiece event will be held as a knockout competition in France in 2022. According to its organizers, the Rugby Africa Cup knockout competition will be held in July 2022 and will feature the top 8 African teams. The winner of the tournament will book a place in the World Cup, joining New Zealand, France and Italy, while the runners-up will battle it out in another World Cup finals qualification tournament. South Africa's Springboks are the current world champions, having cruised past the Lions of England during the 2019 finals. France also hosts the 2023 World Cup tournament, which will run in September and October.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This is Prince Nesta in Nairobi, Kenya, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. An estimated 25,000 athletes are expected to take part in the Berlin Marathon this Sunday. The number of participants will make the event the biggest marathon to be held since the start of the COVID pandemic. According to the organizers of the event, the men's lineup will feature a star-studded list headed by former Ethiopian world record holder in the 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters Kenenisa Bekele. He'll be joined by his compatriot Guye Adola and Kenya's Eliud Kiptanui. The women's race will be led by the Ethiopian trio of Hewot Gebrekiden, Shure Demis, and Helen Bekele Tola, while Kenya will be represented by Fancy Chemutai. This is Prince Nesta in Nairobi, Kenya, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny for more details on sports activities taking place around the world. The address once again is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Moving on to matters basketball, Nigerian Greek NBA star Giannis Antetokounmpo traveled to Greece to stand by his mother and brother Alex as they are granted Greek citizenship at a special ceremony held at the official residence of Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis, according to ESPN. The 26-year-old star recently led the Milwaukee Bucks to its first NBA championship, was born in Athens to Nigerian immigrants. He received Greek citizenship in 2013. This marked the second trip the Greek freak has made in the past 2 months after flying to Athens in August with the Larry O'Brien NBA Championship Trophy to celebrate with his family members.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 0905 and 2005 UTC, right after the international news.
This is Prince Nesta in Nairobi, Kenya, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In the Premier League, Liverpool midfielder Thiago Alcantara is set to miss a couple of games after suffering a calf injury. The 30-year-old Spaniard picked up the injury in the Reds' 3-0 win against Crystal Palace last weekend. The Anfield based club has been hard hit with injuries and illness, with defender Trent Alexander-Arnold still out sick and striker Roberto Firmino just returning to training after a hamstring injury. Liverpool assistant manager Pepe Gen-Legendes has more.
Trent is still not feeling 100%. He will do some jogging, hopefully, but he will not be in the squad for tomorrow. So hopefully, of course, no COVID symptoms, but still we tested regardless. So he's out for tomorrow and hopefully ready for the weekend. So we will build him up again. We have Bobby. He will start doing today parts of team training, so that's good. He's progressing really well. He will not be involved tomorrow. That comes too early, but it's really good and a big compliment for our medical department that he's already where he is, and hopefully we can make him ready for the games coming.
That was Liverpool assistant manager Pepe Gen-Legendes. The club faces Norwich City in the Carabao Cup today before a Premier League visit to Brentford this weekend.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
This is Prince Nesta in Nairobi, Kenya, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In other news, Everton attacking midfielder James Rodriguez could be set for an exit after reportedly traveling to Qatar for talks with an unnamed club. According to the BBC, the 30-year-old Colombian international status at Goodison Park has looked uncertain, with the player increasingly frustrated since Rafael Benitez replaced former manager Carlo Ancelotti. The former Real Madrid player is yet to play for the former Liverpool manager this season and has attracted interest from Turkish, Italian and Portuguese teams. The Colombian sensation was previously featured for Bayern Munich, Porto and Monaco, registered 6 goals and 9 assists for Everton last season. And that wraps up the September 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Mukbilia Baru. Thank you for tuning in. From Nairobi, Kenya, I'm Prince Nesta, sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.